Just reflect with me, if you will, for a moment on the very first line that Jane read for us. How bad must it be for you if you are a prophet and you utter these words to God? Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. I never took the marshmallow test. I'm pretty sure if I had taken it, I would have failed. You know the test I mean. It is the test in which a child about 5 years old is brought into a room with a chair and a table, and the experimenter comes in and puts a marshmallow on the table in front of you. And then the experimenter explains that he's going to leave for 15 minutes and tells the child that if she can wait until the experimenter comes back, she can have two marshmallows instead of just the one. It turns out that a small group of kids end up eating the marshmallow pretty much as soon as the experimenter is out the room. Most of the kids try to hold off eating the marshmallow, but only about 30% of the kids make it through to the end and get the second marshmallow too. Maybe you have heard about this simple little experiment, except that it turns out not to be so simple. The people who designed the experiment originally were interested in how age differences in kids shaped delayed gratification. And not surprisingly, what they found out was that 6-year-old kids were better at waiting than 4-year-old kids. But years after the experiment was done, though, scientists began learning something else about those children as they grew to become young people. It turned out that if you were in the 30% of the kids who managed to wait until the end and got the two marshmallows, you were more likely to have a high SAT score. You were more likely to have a low body mass index, which meant you had lower risks for diabetes and heart disease and high blood pressure. And the adults those children became were much better at resisting distraction. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I would have flunked the marshmallow test. But in my defense, I have always wondered, how much did they know about the individual state of each of those kids just before they did the experiment? Had they had breakfast that day? Had their dad yelled at them? Or some bully in the playground made fun of them? Or had the bus driver come a little too early that day and made them have to hurry to get to school? There is an awful lot that can go into our ability in any given situation to wait or to want to hurry up. There's a lot that can make it hard for us to wait. There is a lot that can make us impatient, justifiably impatient. We are in Advent. Happy Advent. Happy New Year in the calendar of the church. We all know that Advent is about waiting. It's about anticipation. It's about looking forward, pointing ourselves forward in expectation toward the return of Jesus. A professor of mine used to say Advent is like sitting out on the hillside facing east in the darkness, waiting for the sun to rise. We grope our way to get there. We sort of know what direction to look in, and we sit there pretty certain we're facing in the right direction, and awfully certain that the sun will rise. But the longer we wait, the easier it becomes to begin to wonder that maybe it won't happen. This Advent seems different. We don't come into this season of expectation easily. We have had a tough day before we got here. We've been bullied on the playground. We are stressed. Our message is a message about the power of love and the work of reconciliation, about the fundamental equality of all people and the love God has for us in willingly coming to live with us and to die as one of us in order to reclaim us. Advent is meant to be for us a time of looking forward to the victory of that message, But all around us, it seems as though our message is losing ground. There are people being slaughtered for not believing in the right God. And what is worse, the people who are doing the slaughtering are doing it in the name of something they call God. And that tarnishes all people of faith. The gap separating the rich from the poor and the world is getting wider and wider. And the result is a vast tide of humanity simply trying to get to a place where they can have a better chance for a good life, to Europe or to America. Our climate is changing, maybe catastrophically, and it is harder and harder to deny that we are the reason. And our one country, our one system of laws, our one hope for order and peace and the rule of law is seen very, very differently in communities of different races. People of color in the United States are telling us that they live in fear of the police. And the evidence is plain. They have a reason for what they feel. That is what we bring into Advent. And the message we're supposed to hear today is a message about waiting, about anticipation. But we can't wait. We need God to show up, and we want it to happen very soon. I remember hearing sermons as a child in which I was taught that Advent was a blessing. It was there to remind me that I needed time to get ready to prepare before Christ returned in glory. God knew I wasn't ready for that. And I probably wasn't the only one. But this year I am tired of waiting. And I am in pretty good company. Earlier this fall, the Archbishop of Canterbury sat for an interview with the BBC in front of a live audience. And the reporter asked him whether or not he ever doubted the existence of God. The Archbishop of Canterbury. And this is what he said. Yes, I do. In lots of different ways, really. The other day I was praying over something while I was running, and I ended up saying to God, "This is all very well, but isn't it about time you did something if you're there?" Which is probably not something the Archbishop of Canterbury should say. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down right now and sort this mess of ours out. Right after the Archbishop said those words, there was a tiny Twitter scandal all over England about the audacity of a doubting bishop. But very soon, the response to those words was one of admiration and alliance. Lots and lots of people have that impatience with God. The same sense that there is an awful lot going very badly here that causes us to question whether God cares about us at all. And sometimes I am one of them too. How do we get to Advent from there? How do we get through Advent when what we feel most of all is a deep, agitating impatience? The reality is that God is faithful even when we are not. And the sorry but serious reality is that much of our present state, the inequality, the racism, the tribal intolerance, the murderous hatred, is not so much the fault of God's lack of interest as it is of our lack of faith. 60 years ago, in the wake of the Holocaust, Rabbi Heschel observed that the question of the 20th century was not whether humankind could believe in God, but whether God could believe in us. And things have not changed much since then. The rabbi's quote helps us to see the Advent through the right end of the telescope. It is not that God is waiting for a moment of acute crisis to re-enter the picture of human history with a bunch of Technicolor special effects. God is already here. God came in Jesus Christ, and God remains with us in the church through the work and witness of God's own abiding presence, the Holy Spirit. It is God who is waiting on us to wake up and get engaged. It is God who is waiting on us to enter into the picture. It is God who is waiting on us to act in faith and in faithful witness to the claims Jesus made as a teacher and a prophet, and the cause for which he died for all people. God is not waiting on the sidelines for us to work things round to some basic state of order until re-entering the picture in a beautiful church service. God is already here, waiting for us to finally offer ourselves as partners in working together with God for true justice and true peace, for finally bringing in fully the rule of love that will require something from everyone and offer the possibility of full human potential to everyone. Old Bishop Irenaeus was right. The glory of God is a human life fully lived. The glory of God is a human life fully lived. That is why we say Jesus Christ was the image of God's glory, because he gives us an example of a human life fully lived, transparent and open to the will of God. And that is why God calls on us to take up our part in this work, even when it feels impossible, to be the agents of change, the makers of reconciliation and forgiveness. We can't wait. Advent is here. Let's get to it. Amen.